The HMS Podcast is available on the 98KUPD app and is brought to you by Life Changer Loan. Why take 30 years to pay off your mortgage? It's not magic. It's just math. Find out more at lifechangerloan.com.
Hi, Shane O'Grady here with Life Changer Loan. And let me ask you, have you really done the math on your new low rate? Let's see. $300,000 at 3% over 30 years equals $155,000 in interest costs? Are you kidding me? How about paying principal first, not interest, always having access to your equity, and paying off your home in well under 10 years without changing any spending habit? It's not magic. It's just math. LifeChangerLoan.com. That's LifeChangerLoan.com.
Arizona Mortgage Broker Number NB100-2031, NMLS Number 1863775. LifeChanger Loan Corp is an equal housing lender.
Guadalupe Squares. Ringtones and videos of Creepy E getting the knocked out of him. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
Thank you, NMT Row. It's odd outside. Yesterday morning, it's becoming old man central. I don't know what's going on in my world. All of a sudden, I'm asleep by 10 on weekends. I'm up.
Said that this weekend.
It's killing me. I can't. I am a night owl by trade, but something's happening now. I woke up naturally at 5:15 yesterday, and laid there like, no, this is not me. This is not happening. And then at 5:45, I was wide awake, and I'm like, no, weekends are for sleep. And so I looked outside, and it, you know, the sun was coming up, and it was like 90, and I'm like, I can get a bike ride in. I feel enough energy that I'll get a bike ride in and do that. And it was perfect. I rode for like 3 hours. Everything's amazing. I kept taking pictures of the sun because I'm like, what's happening to the
orange sun?
Because it was hiding, and I didn't know that was from the fire over by Palm Springs. So I was baffled by the clouds just blocking the sun, and it was still, and it never got warmer till later in the
maybe,
day.
Maybe a storm is brewing.
I didn't know what was. I just loved it. I rode forever, and then got home about 9:30, and I was just dead for the rest of the day. But I couldn't sleep. I old man my way
to the
through
guy that was up or is up at 5 a.m. on vacation weeks, where you have to adjust. Remember the first couple of days back of vacation, you're just done.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because your schedule is always changed.
Now I'm the old man who wakes up at 4, and I'm like, well, maybe I can be one of those people that I've never been the type of person that can wake up and work out. Nope, I'm never doing that again. That ruined my whole day.
You're not one of those seize the day kind of wake up guys, are you?
I'm one of those guys who wakes up and goes to the couch to lay down some more. That's weekends, and I'm fine with that. And then I get up and I try to do something, but my ex-wife way back in the day would wake up before me to go to the gym. She'd wake up at like 4. Bounce out of bed and go work out. And I'm like, I can barely wake up and go do something I'm being paid for. You can barely pay me to get out of bed. If it weren't for money, there's no way I'd get up. Brett, I don't know what your schedule is. It's miserable.
It's insane.
Yeah, and I can't imagine. Like, it would be easier for me in the way my brain works to do what you do, to stay up.
And then stay up through?
Yeah, just to be up all night. Like, that's comfortable to me, but not anymore.
We're talking to tweakers all night? Come on.
No, I wouldn't talk to anybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why I prefer late at night, is because it's like it feels like everything belongs to you. Everybody's gone. Like, there's a smattering of people, and they're all weird, but for the most part. And you got a Five and Diner and a Denny's. That's basically all you can eat. But nice restaurants that would be open all night, that'd be great. That's why New York is so great. But it's a strange thing. So now I'm waking up way too damn early and trying to do, but I'm never doing that again. People, I envy you, but I'll never want to be you, are the folks who can pop out of bed and do stuff. And yesterday I tried that. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be this guy, I might as well give it a run. Popped out of bed and worked out. And then the whole rest of the day, I felt like somebody beat me with bamboo. I was a mess. You saw me yesterday afternoon. It was a disaster. Never doing that again.
Dragon ass.
Ever. Brady, we had to coach him through turning off the VR Oculus machine. After he'd watched his first porn on it.
He's still not done.
Chemerie.
He's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, he has. Chemerie. Well, he's tired. I mean, your legs, all that lactic acid.
Whipped.
But, you did the full whipping. Nice job. Yeah, the Chemerie says this is the first time you should have video of Brady. You know, it's the first time I regret not having video of Brady in the bunker watching that. But he didn't know how to close. Had it not been for us and Brett showed his true evil, I said, Brady, you have to click out of that page or it's going to be the first thing that comes up next time it turns on. No, I did it. And then he goes, nope, turn it back on. Oh, no, you're right. It's the first thing. And Brett's like, let him leave it.
You know, she's going to learn some way, somehow, sometime. Come on.
She's going to teach herself how to get in on
especially that. Now because 13.
Yeah.
Brady, imagine that.
You're right on that. So
imagine that is the first time you go to beat off on the Oculus and there is already a video there.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't do it.
Is it, is it phone?
Now I know.
Brady, is it phone-based or is it its own thing? So, like, does she put in her phone?
It was its own browser.
Okay. But it's its own thing.
Yeah, but you have to set up a profile on...
like Netflix.
Basically, it's on Ronnie's...
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, clear that history, too. Clear last hour. It's a great click. Yeah, you got to get on that. And you're going to, someday you're going to go, oh, let's see old Kirby Derb's Oculus is going on. And you're going to open that up and you're just going to, like what Toledo found on his son's phone.
Yep.
BBC, Brady. And you're going to see it all over that phone and be like, oh, no.
You do not want that text from your significant other. No. So your friends are sending your son gay porn.
Would you take that away from Kirby if you turned it on and there was a virtual reality porn on it?
Probably right off the bat, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, you're not allowed to have this. You're going to use it for dirty.
Yeah.
And you know what that does to kids nowadays? It teaches them to be better liars.
Go over to someone else's house that has access to their
beat off on their
headset.
Yeah, you beat off on other people's headsets. That's how that works.
But porn is so easy to find nowadays, and it's
everywhere.
Free. I mean, you don't have to search out. It's not like back in the day where you're, 12 years old searching through your dad's closet hoping you find that penthouse.
It can't be that.
I knew exactly. Yeah, I can close my eyes and picture the silver spine of the, 25th anniversary of Playboy that I used to just ruin. And I would dab off the page, if any. I had the nerve to put that back in my dad's collection after I gave a little to it. I donated. And the next time, he went in there, he's like, oh, God, that's my son's yummy. Why? Why does he put it? But just throw it away, boy. But no, I had to keep up appearances. But not like it was I was closing shop in there. I was just occasionally you'd get a little extra, a little rogue. One of those little pods, that shoots off the main ship.
Yep.
And starts to go explore space, and it's got two droids in it, so you don't shoot it down.
Don't go off solo.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just doo.
The best part when I was in junior high, we'd be walking to school and all that kind of stuff, and the neighbor next door always had his trash can outside, and he always put like his old Playboys and penthouses right on top. Right
for
on
you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the
and
gift
we took
that keeps
full advantage of it.
Paying it forward.
How do you think he got him?
Yeah,
so he was just doing what he was giving it
what
back.
A great guy.
Had. You ought to go back and knock on his door and thank you. If he's still alive, or just see that he's still got some stuff on top of his garbage, he's doing it for a new generation.
That's not a bad idea.
Find out where his son lives. You should do that at your house for the kids in your neighborhood.
Yep.
Wandering off to Dobson High.
Nowadays, nobody has magazines.
Yeah. Kids wouldn't know what to do.
We're just going to throw a thumb drive out to them or something.
Yeah,
there you go.
Have thumb drives with a thumbs up on it. Like, trust me, you want this. Yeah, that's
home
a good
videos.
Idea. Yeah. Well, there you go. Brady, you did it. You finally got through that, and I'm proud of you. Now, next step, finish up. And that'll be the first time Brady's ever done it to a porno, which is impressive because it's VR porn. That's really diving in the deep end, man. Well done. Yeah, you got to learn to swim around, though.
That's the first time?
In those seas. He doesn't watch porn.
What?
He's all imagination, and he claims that he thinks of his wife the whole time, which we all know is garbage. Nobody fantasizes about the lady that's right there. Right. Your imagination sucks if your wife is the first thing you're thinking about. Terrible. You might as well imagine in black and white.
You definitely don't have the Steven Spielberg imagination you're going with. Come on.
Yeah, because I've got that. Like, I've got girls I don't know. There's a banner that falls that said, when bitches ruled the earth. It's pretty much just the end of Jurassic Park when I'm finishing, if I have to use my imagination. But I've cut my imagination right out of the equation. I go right to it. Well, we're proud of you, Brady, but your daughter's going to find that. First thing, that's going to happen. She's going to turn it on and VR porn will be there because you missed a step somewhere along the way. And I await that story. 100%. I think it's going to be great. It'll be a great story.
When she decides to go browsing.
Yeah. No, she's going to find it. And you're going to leave. You're going to do it just like everybody has. Like I said the other day, when you've got porn on your phone and you forget to close it all out and it's running and you just leave it because you're done and you're sleepy. And then the next time you get in your car, slut in hose getting effed in the kitchen and your car picks it up and it's the first thing that plays on your Bluetooth. It'll happen.
It was a morning show research.
Right, yeah. You can write it off.
Yeah.
You can write the whole Oculus off now. Now, nice job, Brady. Well done. Put it on the list. Also, I want to say, and I know Brady got it too, thanks for all the condolences for our loss of Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
I got so many texts and emails that said, I'm so sorry for your loss, and a picture of Wilford Brimley. And tell Ronnie and Kirby we're sorry as well, as everyone confused the passing of Mr. Brimley with Brady. It was not Brady, although a reasonable body type.
And as you said, Brady, there's not an opening.
Yeah. You know what the best part was? In the eulogies on all the articles, Star of Cocoon, Field of Dreams, and the Face of Diabetes. Like, how'd you like to be the face of the sugars? And he was. So, but there's not an opening for Face of Diabetes, Brady. I'm sure it paid well, but he lived a nice, rich life and always looked like he was 81 years old. Wilford Brimley
Just checking out images in the history. And then, of course, you know, it's a double whammy because they always there's a bunch of Wilford Brimley next to Andy Reid.
Right.
Side by side.
Which is next to you. You guys have the same exact shapes. You're like the Russian dolls of people. It just never gets smaller. You just keep opening up and seeing another new Brady. But I watched a Seinfeld episode last week, and he's the Postmaster General, Wilford Brimley, is in the episode. And this is like 1996. I swear to God, he looks exactly like he did when he died last year. And I think he's, what is that? He'd be 67. And he looked like he was 85. Again, I always go back to the fact that when he was in Cocoon, I'm the same age as him in Cocoon right now.
Oh, man.
He was 48 when they started filming that.
A senior.
And he's in a senior living center as like the leader. When he was in The Natural, he's 3 years older than Robert Redford in real life.
And he looked like 30.
He was the old
Pop. Looked old.
Pop. Yeah. His name is Pop. He's 52 years old and he's Pop. I mean, it's brutal to look at how poorly that man aged, but, you know, he stayed that way for 50 years. But anyway, Brady, I'm sorry for, I remember when I worked with Brady and Chris Farley died and people were saying they were sorry to Brady.
For his loss.
Well, because they realized two things. Brady had to get a new act.
My showstopper ended at the casino.
Your Foley was over. And people were, now it was just sad. Every time you tried to be Matt Foley, it just got sad.
I'm sorry.
And then, of course, you were that dumb girl, because that was about the time when Molly Shannon was doing that Mary Catherine Gallagher thing where she'd stick her fingers under her armpits and go, I get nervous and I smell them. There was an incredibly unfunny girl at our work that other unfunny people laughed at because she just stole from Saturday Night Live sketches she saw that weekend. Her name was Wild Whitney. Remember her, Brady? Wild Whitney, and she'd
come
by. That
was her performing name.
And and she would stick her fingers under her armpits and do the Mary Catherine Gallagher, and everybody's like, she's so funny. I'm like, she's a hack. All she does is hack Saturday Night Live bits and then run around. And then so people started getting mad at me for not thinking Whitney was funny, and we had a big divide between the sales department and the programming department at KZON back in the day. And so the douche that ran the sales department started to give, like, all of the things you, Brett, would have to go do at an event, started to give them to Wild Whitney from the sales department. She was just a sales assistant, or what? So she became a station mascot. So you can, and so I on the air had to say,
an ambassador.
You can join Wild Whitney from our sales staff this party. And then, and I used to say it on the air, and it would piss this guy, Dave Griffin, got so mad at me all the time because I'd say, hey, you can join one of our sales associates out at this event so you can watch her rehash these hack Saturday Night Live bits that she thinks are funny. Well, there's no reason to bash the entire event. A client paid for that. I'm like, well, you're not paying any of us to go, and that's what we do. So if you want her to be the face of the station, I'll gladly say exactly what these people are going to be getting. And then so I had to sit in meetings and stuff. I'm like, why are sales assistants going to events?
So they weren't sending the jocks out.
Nope.
They were sending out. Wow.
None of the people on the air were going.
There were a couple of jocks that weren't too good at appearances.
Right. And that was it was time to fire them. Yeah. You're talking about Mary McCann and Doc Ellis. Yeah. Doc hated it because it was meeting people. And Mary was just above it. So it was either me, and I would have done it, but they didn't like me. And then whoever the night person was, I didn't care for them. So they put, and they just thought Whitney was a riot. It was just a bunch of hens in the sales department that thought they were cooler than they were. That sales, Brady, you hung out in it. That sales department was a group of girls who really missed how popular they were in high school. And so they tried to attribute that attitude to the workplace in their mid-30s. And they were just awful people. I know a couple of them still today, and they've turned it around. And one, Barb, kind of admits that the whole building was just a douche factory, because it was.
At times, a very toxic workplace.
Oh, it's a terrible place. Yeah, we escaped right on time.
But I played along as long as I could, and then I took the high road and said, you know what, I've done my time here. Yeah.
Well,
time to move on.
Yeah, that's a full circle. But yeah, I cried on my drive to work once. It was so miserable there. I'm a man.
That's the worst.
And I wept on my way to work because I'm like, I hate almost everybody in there. It's such a poorly run place.
Even Wild Whitney?
Yeah, oh, Wild Whitney.
God.
Oh.
That's terrible.
Wild.
That's 80s radio right there.
So bad. And all she did was Saturday Night Live girl. Oh, it's the worst. Also,
I went out with Whitney a couple of times before she.
On dates?
Before she hit the Broadway.
On dates?
Yeah, we went on one date.
Aho House?
Nice. Oh, all right, Brady. Did you?
No. No.
Was she hot at least? Or
no?
Let's be friends. We're friends.
She was not hot.
Face for radio, huh?
She had energy. She was the type of person that confused.
She was a wild redhead.
She confused energy for personality.
Oh, okay.
One of those. There wasn't a whole lot coming out of there, but it was an awful lot of energy coming with it.
Like the funny fat girl thing.
Too much energy.
Yeah, she wasn't fat. But she had, funny fat girl vibe. Okay. Although a lot of times, funny fat girl, she's actually funny. Like, the fat girl has to be sort of fun. So she's actually drilling some lines.
Yeah.
This one wasn't funny. She just full of energy. None of it was ever good. It was just eye rolling. Ugh. Where'd you take her, Brady? I didn't know you went on a date with her.
We probably saw a movie and dinner.
All right.
Standard.
Was it because you're like, she's hilarious? You got fooled by her?
When she first started working there, she was nice.
She wasn't nice. She just wasn't funny.
Have you kept up with her? I mean, do you know what she's doing nowadays?
She definitely had a different personality. Have I kept up with? No. Yeah, I know she, the last I'd heard, probably 10 years ago, maybe. She's married, has a kid.
Yeah.
Was living in D.C.
Unfunny kid. Probably a boring husband and unfunny kid. Makes a lot of noise. Probably has a whoopee cushion or something. Yeah, she was
itching powder.
I didn't know you dated her. I'm sorry. If you'd like to go out with another one, I'll pay for it.
No, it didn't. No, I'm all right because it just didn't work out. You know?
Yeah, because she's annoying.
If she broke my heart, that would have been maybe tougher, something like that. Like,
how did it end?
It didn't begin.
Oh.
So it was kind of going out, hanging out. It is what it is, and then. You know, you also worked in the same building.
Sure.
I went through a phase where I was dipping in company ink for a while.
You're trying to hose Brady. That is true. Brady tried to hose all the girls he worked with for a little bit. Did you guys, did you have a Saturday Night Live off and you did your Foley and she did her Mary Catherine Gallagher and then
you know,
guys,
we never had that. And that probably could have
sealed the deal,
created more of a bond.
Or would have made you want to punch her like me. I just want to rear back and. To quote it again, throw a little Alexis Arguello action right into that melon of hers. Yeah, yuck. Anyway, just bringing up the Chris Farley moments. I remember when Farley died, we worked together, and Brady walked down the hall, and people actually said, I'm so sorry. It was the funniest thing ever. But now with Wilford Brimley, how times have changed. Same thing, Brady.
I can only get little messages because, you know, you can't do the face-to-face, or it's not like you run into people on the streets.
Right. Yeah, you can't do it. So people will send it to me, or my emails are full of them this morning. Speaking of things are full of, I got another. This is interesting. I talked to Toledo about this yesterday. The thing that's going on with Brian Callen, our buddy Brian Callen from The Fighter and the Kid, and he's schooled. Yeah. And
I still didn't listen to his podcast either.
Well, I don't know that they did it.
Oh.
Because Brian
he's
Callen.
He's taking
a break. But I'll tell you this. I talked to him Friday. So it was announced Friday afternoon, or right, I guess we were getting off the air when it started, that Brian Callen was being accused of rape 20-something years ago. And then a couple other girls said that he had, you know, said inappropriate things. One of them was a comedian backstage that he said, if you blow me, I'll give you more stage time. Which is, if you've ever been backstage at a comedy show.
It's locker room talk.
It's beyond that. These guys, and I love it because I love dark humor and I love trying to go as far as you can go with something just to make everybody giggle and uncomfortable. And we've done enough of these and I've been backstage at enough comedy clubs. I mean, Dom Herrera and John Lovitz both openly tried to my mother. It wasn't secret. John Lovett still jokes about it today that he comes in, I'm almost your dad. Because my mom was loved John Lovett.
I remember your mother.
He was here for Mother's Day, yeah. Did the MILF contest with us, and then I took my mom to go see Lovett because she thought he was hilarious. So he was there. We sat up front. He's like, I want you to come backstage for a little bit. I'm sure. I go backstage, and it was just like inches from my
mom.
Inches from my mom. Homburg, is this your mother? Oh, my God. And he tried really hard to bone my mom and made reference to it several times. I'm going to sleep with her. You realize that I am now your father. Turn around, boy. And he was joking, but it was dark, dirty, nasty, weird, hilarious. If anyone in that room was offended by it and then 20 years later said, well, I can't believe he said that. He offered her things. He did all sorts of stuff. It was terrible. Dom Herrera just flat said it. You don't mind if I... your mom, do you? She's beautiful. I'm like, Dom, come on. And it was weird. So it's just these strange things that happen. They say terrible things. But to be offended by that is – that one I'm throwing right out for Callen. I'm throwing the one out where the girl said that Brian Callen made a joke about, you have to blow me to get stage time. I bet he said it. And I bet he said it in a joking fashion. Yeah, you want stage time. You got to blow me. And then so joking. So Callen said – you know, he put out a statement, said he categorically denied it all. I text him Friday and I said, look, you've been nothing but I've known him for a long time now. We're not friends. I'm not going to try to place that on it. But we text each other here and there funny things. It's not like us. And we've been out socially two times. I would never consider Brian Callen to say he's a great friend and same back. But it is a work acquaintance and it's comfortable enough that we can text. So I text him Friday and I said, look, I know what you're dealing with is miserable, but don't let anybody manipulate your truth. You've been nothing but good and kind to me, and I'll stand by you until I can't stand by you anymore. You know, and I'll do that.
Innocent.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was telling him. Like, look, as somebody who's admired you and you've been nothing but good to me and said incredibly nice things about me on his podcast and just sat me down a couple of times and was so complimentary and so nice, and we just had this mutual admiration – I told him, I said, I will fight for you. You have a forum, as small as it may seem, with my show here in Phoenix. You can do anything you want. I will help you as long as the help continues to be for the good reasons, right? He texts back and he's like, unlike everybody else in these situations, I am not going to stay quiet. And he said, I appreciate everything you said. He said, but it's not about my truth. It's about the truth. Yeah. And I'm going to bring that out. And he said, I am not going to stay quiet. He said, I'm going to do my podcast tomorrow. This would have been Saturday. And I'm going to just come down on this entire thing. Well, then he put out his Instagram page yesterday. He put out a thing that basically said,
night.
I'm taking a little break. Do you have it? Toledo, here. This is Callen's thing, which is crazy.
No, you got to
plug it in. Try again. And by the way, just aside, Callen's had some eyelid surgery. He looks fantastic. His eyes are wide open. He looks awake and alive.
I was wondering because I was looking at all the comments and I went back to him like, oh, well.
Yeah, his eyelids look amazing.
Which is hilarious because like, all the, you know, to see that comments about this guy putting his life on the line and saying, I'm fighting it. And still the comments are like, dude, eyelids look horrible.
They said they looked horrible. He looks great.
A couple of them went back and forth. And then there's things that have nothing to do with his post. Yeah. Hey, bro.
Well, that's proof that a lot of people just don't care about this. Here he goes. Yeah, it goes on and on. But he's basically denying the hell out of it. But then at the end.
Almost 3 minutes.
Said, I'm going to take a little break from my podcast, which means somebody told him. Step away from just everything just for a couple weeks.
Down.
Let it settle. And I don't know how much it has to do with the Chris D'Elia stuff. I don't know how much it has to do with the fact that he's a little bit outspoken. But so's Rogan against the whole.
Rogan is somehow shielded.
I don't
because he's gotten – he's had controversial characters on his podcast.
But
where he's gotten
and I think
stuff
that's why.
He's just shielded.
I think it's
just,
the Stern factor and the Ricky Gervais factor to a certain degree that people are afraid that if you go
come
after him, he'll come back.
Yeah.
And it's not the people that – they don't attack people who will
who
bow down.
Vulnerable.
The victimized ones, the ones that say, F you, come at me, are Ricky Gervais, Howard Stern, and well, Rogan to a certain extent.
Brian's got another career. Rogan can sit back and just do his podcast for better or worse. Callen is on two TV shows.
Not
he's
anymore.
Doing movies. I know.
School's not coming back, and then he's not going to be on the Goldbergs, but not because of this. But still, it's you know, it's this stigma. So it was weird. To actually text them and say that. And then you read all this stuff and you're like, man, nobody who knows anything. But it's done. What's done is done. Like, he's in the mix of this whole deal. And whether or not it passes, it'll pass over him. But still, that's no fun to deal with, to have that stuff. But it's it was strange because I get a lot of people who email. I got a text right away that said, you can't be friends with Callen anymore. Did you see what happened? And I'm like, why can't I be friends with him? And so, well, because he's being accused of this. I'm like, yeah, accused.
And it's until proven guilty.
Right,
I mean,
but we don't do that anymore.
That's out the window.
Yeah, yeah. We go the exact opposite route with that. And I'm like, I could still be pals with Callen. And if it comes out later that he's done something terrible, I'd be the first to say, Brian, you know, beyond what you did, you drug a bunch of people with you who said they'd support you. That's the wrong thing. I mean, had Callen responded and said, you know, best thing to just distance yourself, I'm going to lay low, that would have been something like, oh, boy, something's going on. But, you know, to tell everybody I didn't do this, and then you stand in the corner and you look foolish later. But I'll do it because it is. It's you're innocent until proven guilty. But the court of public opinion is so loud and so fast and judges so immediate. That's crazy. But I would.
And it's tough to come from a thing that, you know, an experience that the times that, I mean, you've hung out with them, that I've hung out with them, has always been a good experience.
Yeah.
And you never got into that other side of it. But again, I would have. It's just.
I'll tell you this.
Gotta assume.
The girl that was trying to rape Brian the night we went out, he had every opportunity to do something with, and right. He abandoned ship immediately at the end of the night.
He ghosted her.
At the end of the night, he kissed her on the mouth, and he goes, you're spectacular. And walked away and left her with Adam Ray and me in the middle of the night by that Twisted Grove or whatever that place is called downtown. And I'm like, oh, no. 2 a.m, we're standing with a strange girl who thought she was going home with Callen, and he was done. He went home alone. And, you know, it's after his divorce and all that stuff. It was weird because, I mean, if anything, he had the opportunity right there to take advantage of somebody who was throwing herself at him. And it was the most awkward thing in the world because we left her by a power box and got on our own Uber. Like, I don't know who she is. We asked her, did she need a ride? But we would have just gotten her an Uber of her own. Oh, it was brutal.
And this is dicey territory because everybody wants to get in on the accusers.
Yeah.
And just say, well, you guys just don't believe anything.
You have to listen.
You have to listen. But like you said this weekend, 21 years ago is a little suspicious. I know trauma can last forever.
Sure.
If it was traumatic for her, then it's traumatic. I get that.
Right.
But you made the point of 21 years ago, he wasn't really
famous.
Anybody.
Right.
And now in the last 3-4 years, he's become somebody.
And the D'Elia thing, you know,
highlighted that.
Now all of a sudden it's – and plus, again, he goes down a road that isn't exactly the Hollywood norm for politics. He'll question, you know, he even told me that when we were at the Orpheum once. He goes, you have to play the game. And he goes, I speak my mind. And there's a lot of people that just don't like it. Rogan does it, but I don't think Callen's got that juice. But, it's certainly weird. So it was odd. I don't know what to do.
And then you
it.
Go back to their podcast where, the podcasts are safety spots for these comics. And they're talking about any subject. I mean, like
horrible.
The one that Whitney Cummings talks about, how they exchanged. Sure, but I don't think he was, you know, it's joking.
Were you threatened by it? Because you and I, Brady, have said so over 20-plus years of knowing each other. How many things have you and I said? That are just horrible to each other.
Right.
That at any given time I could say in 2004, Brady said he was going, and you did, he was going to rape me with a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been afraid of him ever since. You'd be like, what? We were just, I'm like,
yeah,
no, Brady, it's lasting.
Would
yeah.
be
horrifying. And then I turn over a bunch of stuff that you and I have said to each other on text, and you're done.
Oh, my God.
You're done.
Well, here's another side of that.
God,
too.
I just thought how great that could be. Yeah. I really go.
Oh,
if it wasn't for Brady having more over me than I have over him, I might think
those
about
scales
that.
Aren't balanced. Is
Not
what you're
at
saying?
All. There's times where I actually sent Brady pictures of me, like drawings of what it would look like if I did rape him.
But here's the other thing.
I'm not a very good artist, though, so that might help me in court.
But the fact that we talk about, you know, there's a dark humor outlet.
Yeah.
And nothing is sacred. Knowing that, that's we're admitting
safe space.
That we've exchanged that stuff brings it to light a little bit on saying, you know.
And here's the things everyone does it. Remember when we used to do the MILF contest in the old building?
Yeah,
we would sequester all those ladies in Mark Randall's office.
Yeah,
and I would have to go in there occasionally, and so would Eric when we were doing that and kind of gather them all up. You go in there in the middle of a conversation that they're having.
Horrifying.
women are just as bad as us, and I'm not saying it's bad, good, bad, or the other.
If not worse,
if
actually.
Not worse, yeah. It is in a gaggle of women together, they can be just as biting as.
But I'll
we
tell
can.
You this: the word that ruins all of that is patriarchy.
Yeah.
Once everybody learned that, then it's like now it's okay for them to say whatever they want.
You're
because we've
patriarchy.
Dominated. Yeah, but that I had a guy say that to me a couple weeks ago. He goes, "You guys stop that MILF contest because you're pussies," and I'm like, "Yep."
Yes.
It's exactly right. You're exactly right. There's way too much to lose on a misunderstanding that, you know, and who knows? It could still haunt us now. We've never tried to rape anyone or assault them, but we did. We told those girls, like, look, this is silly. It's going to get weird. None of you have to do this.
Yep.
If you want to bow out of it, don't feel pressure to do it. It's just for the and everybody was pretty cool about it. But again, you guys don't do that anymore because you're put. That's 100% accurate. We are completely afraid of, and not only the girls that are part of that contest, the girls in our office building. That's what I'm really worried about.
Yeah.
When there was an email that went out in our building that said if anyone is uncomfortable with the content that is about to happen on the Friday before Mother's Day, you don't have to come in. Well, first off, that's setting us up to die. Because the girls that don't come in are being told the work is too dirty for you to be there. We're done. So I remember sitting in Tripp's office, and he's like, it wouldn't be – I'm like, kill it. It's done. Done. If other people in the building can use it as an excuse to not show up, I'm an idiot to fight for that. So, yeah, you're right. We're pussies, and I'm protecting this thing with my shield and my sword because it goes down, and I worked too hard to have it go down for one show a year.
But is it? Do you think it's all because
the fight we chose?
No, right.
I think it's all because of now. Like, and I'm not going to say necessarily the Me Too movement, but the whole social media aspect. Everybody's trying to get their
name
out there. Yeah,
not one movement or another. It's the climate.
Yeah, I mean, because again, before all this going on, 21 years ago, nobody's going to say anything. You wouldn't heard about it.
And right. And if someone did that to you 21 years ago. And you waited even – and I understand, like, a victim doesn't want to run to the cops and say I was victimized and then get turned into, like, a whore or whatever.
You understand that side of it because it's really tough.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of times you're coming there to them pointing the finger and then opening up an investigation, which then puts you out publicly.
But it's
a tough
thing. He wasn't a famous guy. Brian Callen wasn't a known name.
It doesn't matter.
I know, but it does to me – that 21 years ago, you had the opportunity. You've had 21 years in between to get him, and now it's like now he's at the highest he's ever been, and he's a known commodity. And the Fighter and the Kid's a podcast that's big and all that other stuff. Somebody just emailed me and said, "Why do you hang out with these comedians? They seem like horrible people." People ask me, "Why don't you do comedy?" It's because hanging out with comedians is awful. I hang out with like one.
Most comedians,
90%.
Yeah.
You hang out with them for a night and you realize the darkness
when they're in town.
Yeah, and that's it. I'll chat with a couple, but I'm not really. They are dark, odd people for the most part. That is a weird group. And, you know, even Caliendo, who I hang out with quite a bit, is an odd bird. But he's an oddity in and amongst comedians because he doesn't want to hang out with them either.
Right. And he never has.
No.
Because he didn't.
What got him kind of cast out of the entire comedy world is they all thought, "Oh, you're better than us." He's like, "No, I just don't want to hang out until 4 a.m. And, you know, drink and try to, you know, bang waitresses that are disgusting."
Yep.
Because that's all of them. It's, you know, comedy's for dudes who couldn't get laid. That's basically why they're funny. It's because when they were younger, they used it as some sort of an escape. I understand that. It's the only reason that I try to be funny.
Like this come out.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so Callen has got that going. And he was this is a guy who was an actor in like some performing arts schools, and he went to a performing arts college. He's trained to be an actor and all that. He was on Mad TV. In 1999, I think he'd been on Mad TV, and maybe Old School hadn't come out yet. He hadn't done anything.
No.
The Hangovers?
2008.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, so... Yeah, he hadn't, you know. So there's to me, if you're going to question Callen immediately with the, and anybody, and I'm not a Chris D'Elia fan, but nothing's been proven in that outside of he's got a few questionable texts that are very strange. But did he do anything?
The smoke and fire there is a little bit hotter than it is with Callen.
It's there.
Right.
But it's odd because it's like, did he ever do anything or did he just solicit someone unknowingly? Because that's, you know, you get out of that. But he's not, you know, he's not under arrest. He's just been targeted by the press and social media. You're right, Brett. It's all social media has given everybody the public opinion bullhorn, and they scream immediately. And you do have to take accusations seriously, but you also have to take the accused seriously when they say, I didn't do it. You have to listen.
Exactly. Because, you have to listen on both sides. If we're gonna, it can't be all just one way.
You can't just go with whoever you like better. I believe Callen because what he's expressed to me and told me that this is all crap and he's going to fight it. But you also have to say, well, there's a reason this lady's saying this. So let's hear you both.
Yes.
It's crazy. Yeah, it certainly didn't go good for Brian this weekend. And if you're a fan of his, and you know, and then I don't know how you stay on social media. That's the thing. You stay on social media, which I always said is a viper in your pocket. And they're going to go back and find old jokes on his Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to find old things he said that lead you to believe he's a rapist or he's just a horrible person. He's sexually driven male who makes jokes about his machismo constantly. Prowess. Constantly. That's his gig.
A couple of good texts. And, John, I work at strip clubs, and what girls talk about is gross.
Yeah. Well, they can.
Another one says, John, I think I saw it this weekend. We should start hashtag Guyral. It's where a guy that's rich goes viral from an accusation.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. Guyral. I like that. Hmm. Hashtag Guyral. Yeah. But you do. You have to take them seriously when somebody says that something horrible's happened. But you can't. We rush to judgment so fast. I'm not kidding. Within an hour of that news breaking, I had a text from somebody that said, well, I guess you can't be friends with Callen anymore. I'm immediately like, wow, the guilt by association leads to me. I can be friends with him, and if I, and I'll be the first to say, if this comes back, it's like, whoa, Brian, you did something.
Right.
I'm not going to just disassociate, but I am going to tell you that I, you know, I'd text him and go, I can't back, I can't be behind you. I
because
just found out
you have
more.
To take into account his standing by it, and also that he's taken into account every friend of his that has said, I've got your back, I'm with you, I'm there. And if you're going to do that, you got to be ready to fall on the sword with every one of your friends that's there for you
it's
as
a
well.
Minesweeper. You're dragging them behind.
Taking everyone down.
Yep.
It was a different scenario, but I think of the Arthur Blank with Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
I'm going to back you.
Don't lie to me right now. Tell me what's going on and I'll back you. And Vick promised him that none of it was real. And Arthur Blank said, I'll be behind you until I can't be. That's kind of what Arthur Blank, I will stand behind you until it comes out that I can't. If none of this is real, I'll be right there. And people started to boycott Home Depot, which Arthur Blank owned, because he was Michael Vick's guy. And that was before any of the truth came out, because Vick was denying it. And Arthur Blank went on TV and said, I'll put Home Depot on the line here. This is going to affect my business because I believe this kid. And it turned out that he lied to him. So Blank did what you do. You cut him loose at that point, because what kind of friend does that to you?
And you're crushed,
Yeah, it's
for
crazy.
Months, he was looking for Ron Mexico to be the key witness.
Ron Mexico is still a great story.
But if that's ever a thing where your friends come to you and say you can't be friends with .. Right. Go through every one of your texts that's in there and then pick someone out that you can't be friends with.
The man sitting to your left.
I know.
One of the reasons Brett and I are friends has less to do with personality and more to do with the fact we've got so much over each other. We just better be nice to each other.
There is no way either one of us could run for public office, because if they got a hold of our
Why do you think I don't reply to Paul Sura for that specific purpose?
Oh, my Lord.
We don't include him in a lot of our conversations because of
that. We don't know where it could go. Paul is dark. But we have Brett and we're in a thread of things on the internet that are just so trying to be inappropriate to make one of the five guys crack.
Oh, absolutely.
And one of us is like, all right, that's too much. Eventually, one of the guys on our thread goes, that's too far. And I mean, we've done every topic you can imagine in the world of disturbing filth. In fact, it got personal when Katero didn't work and he's in the thread. And we just, I mean, it was all DES jokes about how poor and miserable and what a loser he was. And we would find things on the internet that would accentuate this guy's life and what he could do next and jobs that were like sending him job openings and like just horrible things. And it's nobody got mad, but we do have over each other at all times. We can never not be friends, because if you turned on me, I'd be scared every single day.
It's all of us.
Yeah, I know. Oh. But the good news is I've got as much on you, and Brady too. So don't F with each other, huh, boys? Think about that before you start blasting somebody. It's crazy.
That is what we call a pact.
That's an agreement.
Yes.
Accord.
It's the old blood brother, although it's electronic now. We're spitting in each other's hands, and we're shaking hands once we put you in the loop. But everybody's got one, and anybody out there that's so woke they don't have a fun thread of friends that makes fun of something,
then your life sucks.
You're boring, and B, you're an awful person. Because you got to laugh at the horrors of this nightmare that we're walking.
The problem is you have that pact, but when you run into the problem is the one guy's like, you know what? I think I want to share this with the whole world.
Yeah.
This is so funny.
I don't get those people that decide to put that up on their page. Anyway, somebody just said, what happened to Callen? He's being accused of rape. So just to reset.
21 years ago.
I think the toughest one is being in a Speedo in a dressing room. That is a wild story.
Yeah. Was that one?
Yep. Yeah. He went to, the other girl said he went to try on clothes at this, I forget what the store was. And he liked the girl that helped him and thought, oh, maybe we're getting someplace. And then she said she comes back the next day and he was in boxers when he was trying on stuff. And he'd come out and put it out in front of her in the dressing area. Then the next day he came back in and he says he came out in a Speedo and stepped up his game a little bit more, got a little more aggressive.
So he wasn't under, he was
wall, jokey.
Put her up against the wall in the closet.
Oh, all right.
What was she doing in his dressing room?
Helping him with the clothes. So it's a, you know, as
I've never had that.
I've never had a woman in the dressing
room.
It's
like an open, like the courtyard. Then you go into the little, you know, closet doors there, the swing doors, maybe.
Brady, as ugly men, we've never, either of us have ever had the actual worker come in to watch us change our clothes.
Right.
The other thing is, I don't know. I mean, and I could be off again. I don't know the guy all that well, but to think that you step up the game with the Speedo.
Hilarious.
I know.
Every guy has tried the joke move that's a little over the
I've
top.
I've pulled made a thong out of my underwear and gone, these are riding up and joking around, showing. Like I sent a picture.
You did the whale tail in the office. Maybe it was at the old building.
Which
you
time?
Did. Yeah.
Just this weekend, I sent my friend and his wife pictures of me working out in a pair of pink underwear. I was jumping rope and it was disturbing. And I'm jumping rope.
Roll the shorts up.
That's right. I would golf with
Speedos, golf Speedos.
Right. Yeah. And I've never had an attendant go into the dressing room with me.
And it's only a Speedo. It's not like he came out hanging brain or anything like that.
It's uncomfortable, but it sounded like he was pursuing her with humor.
Yeah.
And now if he pinned her against the wall and she's screaming, don't kiss me, you know, that's the dangerous thing. I was involved in a kiss with a girl once that she didn't want it. And I stopped, but I tried to kiss a girl, and I grabbed her by her head.
That feeling's the worst. When they pull away, when you've made the move, you're like, ah.
I remember it because she turned me down, and she was right to do it, because the only reason I was doing it was to try to make another girl jealous. So I grabbed her. I had my head in her lap, and I'm sitting down on we were in a driveway, because that's what you do. And I had my head in her lap, and she was above me, and she was kind of petting my hair. And I grabbed her by the back of her head, and I went to try to kiss her right as the girl I was trying to make jealous was walking by. And she goes, I know why you're doing this. Why are you doing this to me? And I tried, and I had my hand on that back of her head still, like, come on. Like, trying to just convince her, no, that's not it. But she was 100% correct. But it was awkward. And if somebody said, John tried to pin me or tried to hold my head down and kiss me, that's true. But it was a bad pass. It was just
a bad pass.
All I was doing was I was trying to
kiss. You threw it at her feet.
Had she started making out with me, it would have stopped being about jealousy. It would have started being about this chick's doing it.
Yep. Better watch it. 30 years ago, John Holmberg tried to plant one on me.
But the thing I would say if somebody said it was like, you're absolutely right. I tried to kiss her. She said no. I tried again, which is awkward, but I think that's what I used to be told, like perseverance. Like the girl is supposed to say no, and then you're supposed to kind of make her feel comfortable.
Check in. You check back in.
Yeah, and I checked back in later, and it didn't work, and I just abandoned ship because I felt like an idiot. But could she come out and say, yeah, that guy he was aggressively trying to kiss me one night, and I told him no twice. True. 100%. Tell me one guy who doesn't have that story.
Yeah.
Where you pursued a girl that didn't like you, half because she didn't like you.
Yep.
And to see if you could win her over.
Yep.
How many old people stories? I mean, the whole beginning of When Harry Met Sally is two people saying, I hated him. And he just kept coming at me. And finally, he kissed me. And I said, forget. I kissed him back just to get him off my back. And then they're married. And it's the classic love story. Yeah. I don't know how many guys have those stories. I've got tons of them. Of women saying no to me.
I just couldn't stand them when we first hung out. Then.
Right. Yeah.
It changed.
It's constant. So, yeah, it's just strange that you do have to hear. That's the thing I think people are forgetting. You have to hear the accuser, not believe the accuser. there's a difference because I think Bill Maher said it. He goes, if you believe every accuser, that makes you that word's called gullible. If you believe everything someone says, you're just gullible. You have to hear them and assess it, but it's not immediately true.
John, you can't be friends with me anymore because this conversation is making me hard as a rock.
I'll send you some of Bretonized baby casket information. Make it real weird.
John, when I was 19, I got fired from Ruby Tuesday. Yeah, I was a lofty goaler for making the old pineapple semen joke with the hostess.
Oh, yeah, see? And there's truth. I just made that joke. You want some truth? You want to get dark? Uh-oh. Another friend of mine and I, every time something's funny, don't do LOL. We send something from the JonBenet Ramsey crime scene to each other. And so yesterday, he said something hilarious, and I searched for 2 seconds on Google and found JonBenet's little bowl of pineapple and milk she was eating before it all went down, which they said that her brother, Burke, killed her because she ate all the pineapple. So there was a bowl of pineapple with milk in the middle of the kitchen was her last thing. So I sent that to him, and he goes, we are taking this way too far. And I'm like, I am not comfortable with my own stuff now. I'm like, because at first it was just pictures of her. Because it's, you know, the darker something is, the more I want to deflect it with funny. And so, yeah, that's horrible. But speaking of pineapple, yesterday I had a real cringeworthy moment sending a bowl of pineapple and milk to my friend because he said something hilarious. And like that's me saying I found that amusing. He sent me a garrote.
Your Honor, clearly the defendant's text. Look at this, pineapple and milk.
Oh, it's terrible.
Mr. Holmberg, what did you mean by your...
Well, it's worse because the picture before that is there's the photo I sent him after his hilarious text, which is the actual thing because this was the one he sent me when I said something funny before.
Ouch.
Yeah, actual crime
you're
scene
like, Pastor,
photos.
We need to stop this.
Yeah, yeah. Father Dale, I know you're trying to rekindle with me, but I can't do this anymore. Yeah, so just beware of it all. But then again, apologies floating around years and years later are who knows what's right. Retroactive and what's not. How many years have we at this show said Utabanga is something everyone should know about? And do you know about Utabanga?
No.
Utabanga is a pygmy African-American man.
Okay.
It wasn't even a pygmy, just short.
He was straight up African, John.
You're right. He was African.
Yeah, we brought him over.
Drug him over here to the United States and put him in the Bronx Zoo with the orangutans.
The tribe that he is known for filing their teeth to points.
He had pointy teeth. He was short. And they stuffed him in the Bronx Zoo. And we've said, know the story of Utabanga. Finally, people kind of let him loose because he was in the primate area.
Went on to have a family, couple of kids.
Shot himself in the chest because his life was miserable as whatever had happened to him in the 12 years he was in this country or whatever.
So he was just ruined because he was treated like an animal,
basically. Yes, devastated by it. So shoots himself in the chest. The whole story of Utabanga is very interesting. Friday, the Bronx Zoo shoots out an apology for Utabanga, which nobody knew about but us. We were the only ones that ever talked about Utabanga, ever. And we celebrated the anniversary of Utabanga. We had all. Never once did anybody really bring Utabanga to. TMZ runs the story. Bronx Zoo apologizes for Utabanga in 1912 or 15 or whenever it was.
Oh, was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And people are like, finally.
With our podcast.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they're binging us from 2006. But yeah, So who knows how long the retroactive you need to apologize for this is? Because nobody at the Bronx Zoo today is saying, you know what we need is another one of them African males. And nobody's trying to relive that. So there's no need to apologize. None of the people there are responsible for it.
And the only one you can't top on that is, again, back to the Catholic Church, because they've done apologies 400 years later.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
But the difference is
we were wrong about this.
Right.
We're going to
difference is with the Catholic Church, they were still doing it. Yep. The difference what they were apologizing for in 1300 is stuff that was still going on up until and probably still is, but up until just the last 20 years it had been. So to apologize for it's one thing to continue. Look, if the Bronx Zoo said we're sorry and then had a group of African men in with orangutans, you'd be like, sorry for what? You guys don't care. You're still doing it. The church did that. Uta Benga has been, and I guess it was only like 2 weeks that they kept him in there, but it ruined him. It destroyed his life.
I think it was longer than 2 weeks.
Couldn't find a good venue for people wanted to pay to see him. And, they're like, wow, look at the money that we could make. Because, what was also big then were those freak shows that they put all sorts of, you'd go to those ones where they just have the huge person,
the
lady, and all that.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is now television. The 1,000-Pound Sisters is just part of that.
Yep.
The mentally challenged show, I forget what it is. Just following mentally retarded people around
under
in their everyday life.
Educational.
Yeah, and they're always like, no, it's because we care about them. 600-pound life. All they're just freaks. They're societal freaks that we try to act woke around and say, look, we're helping. But really what you're doing is filming something that you can't imagine as a normal person being real.
I wonder if 10 years from now the networks are going to come back and throw the big apology out because of, the 1,000-Pound Sisters.
It's probably, eventually it's probably you took advantage of
right. Them.
You completely took advantage of their lives and profited off of these people and kind of snickering in the background the whole time going, man, these freaks are making us a fortune. And then, Botched is another show I watch, and those are more volunteers, but they're making fun of people who have done so much weird stuff to their body that they're interesting.
No, they don't really, they fix them, but...
The reason it's a TV show.
But they have some fun with it.
Yeah, the reason it's a TV show is because these people have done clownish surgeries, and they come in, and they are not normal.
And then you cry
looking.
At the end.
And then at the end, they try to make you cry, but I don't cry. Yeah. I'm like, this is a mentally sick person. What this show should be is, let's get you to a psychiatrist. Why do you have implants in every part of your body? The one guy had arms, calves, thighs. He made them himself, and he was cutting himself and inserting his stuff to make his because he didn't want to work out. So there's something mentally wrong with him, but you can't say that anymore. You can't tell somebody, hey, I think mentally you're so disturbed, and that's why this is happening. Girls that come in with the giant lips and they want cans that are just like, small Hyundais, and these two surgeons are like, why do you want to go bigger? They're an anomaly. They're a goof.
That one wouldn't do it. She's like, nope, I'm going to keep them still.
Right. They're societal goofs. They're freak shows, and we love watching freak shows. We just do it different now. We do it like we care. We pretend to love them. It's crazy. Anyway, what do you got on the big board of musical treats over there?
All right. We got Lamb of God, Memento Mori. Somebody wanted to hear Billy Squire, The Stroke for Brady's VR this morning.
I haven't heard Billy Squire in forever. By the way, the Big Board of Musical Treats brought to you by ELOteam.com. Is it ELOteam.com? I'm bad at websites. ELOteam.com. Buy, sell, stare, look, do whatever you need to do. ELOteam.com brings you the big board. All right, Squire it is. Is that how you spell Billy Squire?
It is. I actually looked it up.
Did
I was
you?
Like, I'm going to get made
funny.
Fun of here. No, it's my handwriting.
It looks like
it's just terrible. It is right.
It looks like it says Soviet.
Oh, that's a Q. Come on.
Look at that. Tell me that doesn't look like Billy Soviet. Bill for Soviet.
I got a face in handwriting for radio.
We've
got
to slow your hand down. Let's do it. I haven't
heard.
Holy
crap, he's right.
See, I told you.
No, I think it's spelled right. It just looks funny written by a second grader. Brady, you and Vesely need to have a handwriting off.
Ugh.
I think he
How
may,
would that go?
Actually, his cleans up. Like, you tried here. This is...
Yeah, a little bit.
I can read every word. Brady's
just,
is... Sometimes
just
Brady's...
Just takes a minute.
Sometimes
oh,
Brady's letters are
beautiful.
Still backwards. There's an occasion where...
Like the old Kids Are Us signs
like a,
and stuff?
Yeah, there's like a P backwards or something. Well, that's interesting. Like the D's are wrong. It's funny because he's speeding through, but man, yeah, you two need to just, take a day and write the alphabet real slow
because
you're better at it.
Take me an hour to get those 24 letters legible.
Yeah. 26.
Bro. Oh, yeah, that too.
Man. Ugh. You didn't just.
I would have forgot one, all right?
That's the Italian alphabet.
Oh, my God.
It is the Italian alphabet. That's why they don't have mozzarella. They got mozzarella.
Yeah.
We got rid of the A, mozzarella.
Economizing.
That's right. Brett's alphabet has 24 letters. Take me forever to get through all 24 letters of the alphabet.
Oh, Christ.
I mean, what am I supposed to do?
You're hired, by the way.
Yeah, oh, that's all we needed right there, I think.
Seat's taken.
Seat is now Brett's because, wow, I didn't know. He's struggling with the amount of letters in the alphabet.
You see A, B,
C. See if you know them all. Let's see if you're missing a couple. That I always skip the X. Stupid. And that's only sometimes why. It ain't always in it. Why? Yeah. Did you really say that because you thought it was 24? Oh, this is embarrassing.
No.
Oh, my God.
You kick him the out now.
I'm trying to help a kid. He's been up all night. All right, well, let's do Billy Squire the stroke, and then I'm going to take Brett's temperature real quick. I'm not real comfortable with what just happened.
Damn it.
He's an adult with second grade handwriting. Thinks there's 24 letters in him. No wonder it says Billy Soviet. He doesn't know what
how old
is.
Are we again?
Yeah, how old are you?
46. I'll be 47 on Friday.
Add two.
Right.
He's 49.
No!
Big Red Badass.
What? What did you just say?
Hi, Shane O'Grady here with Life Changer Loan, and let me ask you, have you really done the math on your new low rate? Let's see. $300,000 at 3% over 30 years equals $155,000 in interest costs? Are you kidding me? How about paying principal first, not interest? Always having access to your equity and paying off your home in well under 10 years without changing any spending habit. It's not magic, it's just math. LifeChangerLoan.com. That's LifeChangerLoan.com.
Arizona Mortgage Broker, number MB 100231, NMLS number 186377. LifeChanger Loan Corp is an equal housing lender.